إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. Indeed, the best speech is the word of the Almighty Lord. The best way of life is the sunnah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best of affairs are the prescribed matters, and the worst of affairs are the novelties, the innovated matters. The most noble death is no other than the death of a martyr. The best of knowledge is that which benefits. The upper hand is definitely better than the lower hand, and wailing over the dead is from ignorance. The worst of earnings is the earnings of riba, the filthy, dirty earnings of riba. The worst of reports are those which are lies. The worst of food is eating the inheritance of the orphans. Abusing a Muslim is kufr. Abusing a Muslim is wickedness. Killing him is kufr. And backbiting him is eating his flesh. He who withholds his anger, who controls his anger, the Almighty Lord makes his affairs turn it aright. He who is patient in calamities, controls himself in catastrophes, the Almighty Lord turns his affairs, making them, inshallah, all positive. Know, my beloved, that whoever loves himself, whoever places himself above other people, whoever does acts to be seen by man, to be heard by man, to be known by man, to be rewarded by man, the Almighty Lord makes it known of him, and he debases him. Whoever obeys the devil disobeys Allah, and whoever disobeys Allah, the Almighty Lord, he will punish him. Cursed is she who sleeps while her husband is upset with her. Cursed are those people, those men who resemble the woman, or those women who resemble the men. Cursed both of them in the book of the Almighty Lord, and on the tongue of our beloved Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Cursed are those filthy, abominated, disgusting, scummy, dirty acts of homosexuality. A'udhu billah. Cursed is the plucker of the eyebrow and the plucked one, the tattooer and the tattooed, the connector of the hair and the one that gets it connected. Cursed to all those who hate Islam, who hate the messenger of Islam, who hate the followers of Islam. Cursed all those who slander, who talk evil, who talk negativeness of our beloved companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. Know that they are all cursed in the book of the Almighty Lord and on the tongue of our beloved Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Know, dear creatures, that the Almighty Lord rose over his throne in a way that suits his majesty, his glory, He's the first, the last, the most high, and the most near. He's the knower of everything. Lord of the seven heavens, Lord of the seven earths, the spitter of the seed and the seed stone. Nothing, absolutely nothing, is comparable to the Almighty Lord, nor is there anything partner to Him. Tonight, inshallah ta'ala, and obviously tonight is my time, we can have a short reminder, a short lesson, if you so desire, or we can have questions and answers immediately without the short reminder. So if we can have one and only, please, Sister Asia. Let it be Abu Mus'ab to decide whether it is a lesson or a short reminder, or whether it is immediate questions and answers. So please, if you can undot Abu Mus'ab and he can suggest or he can say what he pleases, and we'll take it from there, inshallah. Abu Mus'ab, are you there? Abu Mus'ab looks like he went for a cup of coffee. So if you are not there, Abu Mus'ab, inshallah, will change it to Walaykum As-Salaam wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh. No problem, but you have an option. Would you prefer a question and answer session, or would you prefer a little reminder, a short reminder, and then inshallah questions and answers? What would you please? So what would you please first, immediately a question and answer only session, or would you like as well a short reminder? If it's a short reminder, type number one. If it's questions and answers, type number two. Fair enough. You're a very easy person to satisfy by the looks of it. So you haven't really answered the question. Okay, let us have shut your face. Shut your face. What would you like? One or two questions. So you don't want a short reminder. Khair, inshallah. I did give you the option and you have chosen that, and I will not go back on my word, alhamdulillah. So inshallah ta'ala, actually, yes, actually what? A short reminder. Khair, inshallah. Again, inshallah ta'ala, like I said, you were given the choice and it is up to you. So abide by Allah Ta'ala, bi-idhnillah Ta'ala, by that which you have decided. So we all have, inshallah Ta'ala, may the Almighty Lord bless you all, a short reminder, and then inshallah we can enter the questions and answers session. So we initiate the great companion by the name of Umar ibn Khattab, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. One day he went to Syria. He traveled to Syria, and Abu Ubaidah, the great knowledgeable companion, radiallahu anhu, was in his company. In other words, he traveled with Umar to Syria. Now, when they reached a ford, which is a shallow part of a river, Umar, radiallahu anhu, descended from his camel. When he came off his camel, he removed his shoes. He placed them on his shoulders and then started walking across the shallow part of river. Now Abu Ubaidah, looked at Umar in amazement, in astonishment. You know, he was surprised that a leader of the Muslims, Amir al-Mu'mineen, a Khalifa, would do such an act. You know, he descended his camel, he took his shoes off and placed them on his shoulders. So Abu Ubaidah said, O commander of the faithful, O leader of the faithful, you are doing this? I do not wish that the people of this town see you in this condition. See, he was worried about the people beyond this ford, beyond this river, that they see Umar ibn Khattab, who is the leader of the believers, the leader of the faithful, act in such a manner. He took his shoes off, he put them on his shoulders, he grabbed the reins of his camel, and he started crossing the river. So he was surprised, Abu Ubaidah was surprised that his action was not proper for a man of his caliber. And he did not want the people of the village beyond this ford, beyond this river, to see him in this state. So when he did this, and when he heard the statement of Abu Ubaidah, he retorted. Umar retorted. In other words, he responded sharply. He responded sharply, very strongly, vigorously. And he said, O Abu Ubaidah, if anyone else were to say this saying of yours, I would have made him an example for all Muslims. In other words, why do you say this, O Abu Ubaidah? There is no need for this statement. I am a Muslim. I am a Muslim like you. There is no difference between me and you. We are all the same. We are all equal. Whether you walk in this river or cross the river with your shoes off, or whether I walk like this, there is no difference. We are all equal in the sight of the Almighty Lord. So he retorted Abu Ubaidah sharply and said, if anyone else other than you had said this statement, I would have made him an example for the Muslims. And then he said, which you all should listen very carefully, my beloved brothers and sisters, listen very carefully to this statement of Umar. He said, we were the lowest of all people, and then Allah, the Almighty, gave us glory by Islam. And if we seek glory, if we seek honor, if we seek respect or dignity in anything other than what Allah has given us, Allah will disgrace us. Allah will humiliate us. Allah will degenerate us. Look at this beautiful statement of Umar. In other words, the Almighty Lord has blessed us, has given us honor, glory, dignity, respect, as long as we follow Islam, as long as we worship Allah, as long as we only seek glory, dignity, respect, honor, only through Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make us the superiority, the upper people. But if we seek honor or glory in other than Islam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause humiliation to cover us, disgrace, degeneration. And this is the meaning of this beautiful narration. My beloved, honor, dignity, might, glory, which is known in Arabic as Izzah, history. History, without any shadow of doubt, proves that us Muslims, this great ummah, the ummah of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were the sole possessors of honor and glory, of might and dignity, and of greatness. The early Muslims moved from success to success. From victory to victory. From power to extra power. They attained the highest peak of glory in history. For centuries, the Muslims ruled on this earth. And they ruled with such strength, such might, such honor, such dignity, such respect, that no existing power, wallahi, and history proves this, no existing power had the courage, had the strength, in better words, had the guts to challenge any Muslim. And if anyone dared to do so, that person did or committed this challenge at the risk of being obliterated, destroyed, eradicated. And this, as I said, is a historical truth. And this can never ever be denied by anyone, Muslim or non-Muslim. It can never ever be erased from the history books of Islam or the history in reality. It was the days, my beloved, the days when Salah ad-Din al-Ayyubi rode into the battlefield holding the flag of the Shahada of La ilaha illallah up high into the sky, rode into the battlefield, into full combat, into severe, vigorous combat, raising the flag of La ilaha illallah up high, and no one dared to break it. No one. It was the days of honor and glory. The days when the voice, subhanallah, just the voice of Umar ibn Khattab struck, when he spoke, or when he stepped on the ground, wallahi, that voice of his struck fear and awe, extreme awe, into the hearts of the disbelievers, into the heart of the enemy. They feared the voice of Umar due to the power, the strength, the courage, the sacrifice, the bravery that he possessed. It was the days of honor and glory, the days of might and dignity, the days of Islamic greatness. The days when Sumayyah, this old female companion, subhanallah, she stood firm against the chief mushriks, the chief pagans of Mecca. She confronted them with La ilaha illallah and did not water, did not waver, was not scared. Because she knew that honor, that dignity, that might, that respect, that glory belonged only in Islam and to Islam. And she feared not. It was the days, wallahi, that no one dared to mock or to laugh or to ridicule, not even raise an eyebrow at Islam or the messenger of Islam or the followers of Islam. You know, one may ask, subhanallah, what was their encouragement? What was in their hearts? What was going through their minds? Why were they such great, powerful people? What was the reason behind this? It's simple. The answer is easy. It's right before our very eyes. We read this. We see this in history. They recognized who they were. They believed in the Aqidah of Islam. Their iman was strong. But not only strong, it was pure. It was pure, wallahi, it was pure. And this is what made them what they were. This is why no one dared. Wallahi, no one dared to ever challenge them. No one had the guts to even look at them in their eyes out of fear. Look at Umar ibn Khattab. Allahu Akbar. What a great star in Islam. What a great light in Islam. This man exemplified honor and glory in its highest form. You know, one day, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu was sitting with the companions and with his teacher Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was immediately after Umar embraced Islam. And we know in the early days, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was conveying the message of Islam in secrecy, out of fear from the non-believers' oppression. But wallahi, when Umar ibn al-Khattab, when he embraced Islam, the minute after he became a Muslim, he asked Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, he said, are we not right? In other words, is Islam not right? Is it not the religion, the path, the deen before the Almighty Lord? Are we not right? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied with, yes, it is, Ya Umar, it is right. Then Umar asked the second question, and are not the non-believers, are not the disbelievers of Islam wrong? Is not their path, their ways of paganism or polytheism or denial, is this not one? Again, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied with, yes, it is one. Then Umar asked the third question. And look at this question here. Listen to it. He asked, Ya Rasulullah, then why are we hiding? Why are we hiding? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Umar, what do you think we should do, Ya Umar? What do you think we should do? Then Umar replied, I say that we walk out of this house, out of this secrecy, out of this concealment, we march in the streets and yell Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah, look at the courage, look at the bravery of a man who seeks honor, who seeks might, who seeks power, dignity, respect and glory only in Allah Ta'ala, who knows that he is on the truth, that he is following the truth and nothing but the truth, and who knows that the disbelievers are no other than kuffar, disbelieving in the message of La Ilaha Illallah. So he asked him, are we not right and are they not wrong? When the answer was yes, so why, he said, why are we hiding? And then his teacher Muhammad said to him, what do you think we should do? He said, I think what we should do is walk out of this concealment, leave this secrecy, walk out into the streets, yelling, marching, yelling, Allahu Akbar. And then we should go around the Kaaba, he said, so that all of them can see us. And wallahi, my beloved brothers and sisters, that was exactly what they did. And not a single non-believer could do a thing about it. And ever since Umar embraced Islam, things started to change for the Muslims. And we know that the great saying of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, when he said, we have remained powerful, we have remained strong ever since Umar embraced Islam. This was the way that they were. They knew where to seek the honor, the glory, the izzah, the might, the respect, the dignity. They walked on the earth and no one dared, wallahi, dared to raise an eyebrow. No one dared to twinkle an eyelid. They were scared. وَجَعَلَ اللَّهُ فِي قُلُوبِهِمَ الرُّعْبِ. And Allah has placed in their hearts awe, fear. That was then, when Muslim's name was mentioned. Wallahi, people will get scared. The disbelievers will fear them. Not because they were scary people, because they feared no one but Allah. They obeyed and sought honor and glory from no one but Allah. And that is what made them who they were. The greatest nation that the Almighty Lord created was the nation of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Especially the first three generations of Islam. Now if you want to compare the current affairs, the Muslims of today, sadly, wallahi, one would cry, sadly to say, when one turns his eyes away from this golden era, from these golden pages of history, from these golden generations of Islam, from these golden men and women. When we turn our eyes from the history of Islam, the beauty, you will find brilliant performance and achievements of our great, powerful ancestors has become, sadly to say, no more, wallahi, than a fiction, an ancient tale, a story to narrate. It is only read from a book and then returned back to the bookshelf. This is us compared to them. For wallahi, the Muslims, sadly to say today, are a people, are a nation, who possess no real strength or power, who possess no honor or dignity, no brotherhood, no mutual love. Today, we find ourselves sunk in the abyss, sunk in misery, sunk in disgrace, sunk in degeneration and humiliation. You know, one may ask himself, but why? Why have we lost our honor? Why have we lost our glory? Why have we lost our dignity, our might, our power? Why have we lost superiority? The answer is clear, my beloved brothers and sisters. Wallahi, the answer is clear for every single one who sees with sincerity, who sees with real vision, who hears with real hearing. Nowadays, you have Muslims, many Muslims, who have wandered away, so far away from the path of virtue, has allowed the enemies of Islam to talk and discuss our affairs with mockery, with ridicule, with disrespect and laughter. This is the reason, one of the reasons why the Muslims today have lost this honor and dignity and this glory and might. Even Muslims, so-called Muslims, who have been affected and influenced by the so-called modern trends or the Western way of life, they take pleasure, wallahi, they take pleasure in laughing and mocking Islam and the Muslims, talking about them, laughing about them, mocking them, making them a laughing stock. Why? To please those kuffar, to be part of the kuffar, so they can show the kuffar, we are on your side, and we do laugh, and we do mock, and we do oppose what you oppose, and what you mock, and what you laugh at. So they show them a sign of integration, or assimilation, and so forth, by compromising their deen, their pure honor, their pure dignity, their pure respect, which only belongs to Allah Ta'ala. They abandon the honor of Allah and the Messenger and the believers in order to seek honor and dignity and glory from the kuffar. Wal'iyadhu billah. This is why we are the way we are today. We even have some Muslims, some so-called Muslims, who openly criticizes the sacred code of Sharia as being out of date and impracticable, unusable, intractable. Subhanallah al-Azim. No wonder why we have lost our honor. No wonder why we are the way we are today. No wonder why we are so humiliated. No wonder why we are laughed and mocked at. No wonder why we're Muslim sisters can not even walk the street without being provoked or harassed or bashed or laughed. No wonder why a Muslim brother with a beautiful beard is looked at in a very negative way. No wonder why the atmosphere that surrounds the Muslims, especially in the West, is an atmosphere of hatred, an atmosphere of discord, of enmity, an atmosphere that is nothing but evil towards us Muslims. And what can we do? Nothing. Nothing. Why? Because we ourselves have led this to happen. Unlike the early generations, when the Muslims walked the streets, the kafir would walk away from him. He would give him way, he would give him path, he would not dare. Wallahi, he would not dare raise his head to a Muslim. You know, subhanAllah, when I was in Saudi Arabia doing my scholarship, I met some brothers from England that were doing the same courses I was doing, the faculty of Hadith. And they said to me, in the first Gulf War in 1990, approximately, they said to me, Wallahi Fayez, they said to me, at first, before this Gulf War, we used to raise our heads in the streets, we used to walk with honor, with dignity, with these big beards, we walked the streets and no one dared to look at us. And then they said, but Wallahi, as soon as Saudi Arabia allowed the American army to enter the lands of Islam, we were humiliated. We lost our respect. We lost our dignity. We lost our glory. We lost our might and our greatness. So when we walked the streets after that, people looked at us in a belittling way. They disparaged us. They degenerated us. That you Muslims are in need of us. You Muslims are in need of our armies to protect you people. And when in Islam did the Prophet of Islam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam go and call the kafar to enter the land of Islam to assist the Muslims, to fight Muslims? And this is when we seek honor, when we seek glory. This is an example among thousands of examples. When we seek honor or glory or dignity or might in other than the Almighty Lord, Wallahi, as the verse mentions, we will be disgraced. As Umar said, whenever you seek glory or honor in other than Allah, in other than Islam, Allah will disgrace you. Allah will humiliate you. You will lose your honor. You will lose your glory. You will lose your dignity. You will lose your might. And we have lost it. And this is why, my beloved brothers and sisters, this has driven us as a collective ummah to no more than one humiliation after another. Wallahi, with subsequent loss of our pride and self-respect. We are today, sadly to say, living in a state of ghafla, in a state of heedlessness, and painful, Wallahi, for every strong believer, every real believer, every real mu'min, muhsin, he will feel the pain, the sadness, he will feel remorse to the condition of this ummah today. And this is a disease. Seeking honor than other than other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a disease that is eating this ummah at a very, very fast pace. A very fast pace. This slow, deceiving, materialistic world. This slow, deceiving, materialistic world has done nothing but dragged us into a race of unlimited desire, seeking honor or dignity or glory in things that are nothing, frivolous, trivial. It's become a mad, insane craze for the accumulation of material wealth or fame and power, or people even seek honor and glory in their lineage or in their race. It is subhanAllah, many people, many Muslims, and we know Islam is unbiased. We are not racist, we are not nationalist, but people seek honor and glory out there, Muslims, by raising slogans like my nation, my tribe, my community, my country, or my even madhab and so forth. For indeed this is no more than humiliation. It is no more than division and destruction of this ummah. It is subhanAllah, these people that claim my slogan, my country, my nation, my tribe, my community, my people and so forth. What made these people great other than Islam? Why do you think Allah, the Almighty, the King, the All-Powerful, our fashioner, our designer, why do you think, who do you think Allah caused, or why do you think, we can say, Allah caused the English to rule over us, to control us, to overpower us? It is no more a result, a consequence, a ramification, a catastrophic consequence, a punishment for what our hands have earned, for our own wallahi rebellion. And if we were to hold strongly to one flag, to one slogan of no other than La ilaha illallah, wallahi the combined powers of the entire world will not be able to harm us in the least. But subhanAllah, you look around, you see the current affairs of the believers. You see the current affairs of the Muslims, and sadly to say, our minds are influenced and our hearts are sealed by no other than Western ideologies and lifestyle. We are wallahi oblivious to who we really are. Our eyes are veiled, are closed, are sealed from the true meaning of honor and glory. And this is the reason why we are the way we are today, humiliated and disgraced. You know, subhanAllah, if you look at the Muslim world, for example, I'll give you some examples of what I mean by humiliation. In a Muslim country, you see that companies, so-called Muslim countries, you see that companies respect and honor the foreign non-Muslim expert. For example, there are companies, as you all know, whether it's in the Arabian Peninsula, whether it's in the Middle East, this company needs two workers. So one comes from America, or from England, or from Australia, or from Europe, carrying a Western passport, for example, and he enters the Arab lands, the so-called Muslim lands, the Muslim company or institution, and he passes his filthy passport to this person, to the company. And another brother, for example, the same expertise, no different in skills, they're equal in their intellectuality, in their academic skills, in their profession, exactly the same, but one has a Western passport, and then another brother comes, a Muslim brother comes, from Pakistan, for example, carrying a looking like a Muslim, beautiful beard, in his hand he carries his passport, it's a Pakistani passport, but they are exactly equal in their expertise and skills, the same company, he hands over the passport, he says to the other one, the same position, don't forget, they get the same position, they are doing exactly the same job, there is no difference, but he tells the person who is the American or the Western passport holder, you will get 10,000 rial per month. You will get 10,000 rial per month. While the other one, the Pakistani passport holder, the one that loves star, like light, like gold, the one who loves Allah, who loves his messenger, who loves the believers, he is told by that filthy tongue that you only receive 3,000 rials. Why? Because you have a Pakistani passport. Wallahi, nothing but humiliating him, degrading him, belittling him. Your brother, you idiot, this is your brother in Islam. You are honoring, you are glorifying, you are giving respect and dignity to the kafir over your brother. And this is seeking honor in other than Allah. This is the meaning of seeking honor in other than Allah. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? And wallahi, believe it. And this is exactly what is happening today in the so-called Muslim lands. It is rampant. Is it immense? It is immense. It is everywhere. I saw this with my own eyes. I heard this with my own ears. I spoke to these brothers directly. And they told me exactly what I told you. They give a Western passport holder 10,000 rials while giving the Pakistani passport holder 3,000 rials. Humiliating him, degrading him, belittling him. Subhanallah al-Azim. You know, we've got a beautiful hadith that Ibn Ishaq narrated. He said that Abu Sufyan came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Al-Madinah. And Abu Sufyan is known, he was the chief pagan of Quraysh. At first, he was a chief pagan. At first, and then alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nahsabuhu kadhalik, blessed him with Islam. Before he died, may Allah ta'ala be pleased with him. But at first he was a pagan, and he continued to be pagan until the conquest of Mecca. So he, before he embraced Islam, he went to the Prophet's house in Medina, and he went straight to his daughter Habiba bint Abi Sufyan. That was the daughter of Abu Sufyan. Her name was Habiba, and she was the wife of who? Of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he entered upon her, he entered the room, and he saw his daughter there, and he wanted to sit on the bed of who? Of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when he approached the bed, subhanallah, look at this, my beloved brothers and sisters, listen carefully to where honor and where dignity and where respect is held. Listen to what this lady, who is the daughter of the pagan chiefs of Mecca at that time, his own daughter, when he, Abu Sufyan, approached the bed of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so he can sit on that bed, what did she do? She removed it. She removed the bed from her father, from allowing him to sit on the bed of her husband Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, Abu Sufyan was surprised, was shocked. He said to her, I do not know. Do you prefer me to the bed? Or do you prefer the bed to me? Like, he was shocked. You know, how dare you do this? How dare you disallow me to sit on the bed? This is disrespect. And what did she say to him when he said that to her? She answered. Listen carefully. She answered. It is the messenger of Allah's bed. And you are a filthy polytheist. And I do not like that you sit on the Prophet's bed. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu akbar. Wallahi, this is a statement that should be written in gold. Wallahi. Look at these beautiful words. He said that you, this bed is the bed of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you, even though you're my father, you are the chief of the pagan in Mecca, the chief of the pagans of Mecca, and you are a filthy polytheist, and I do not like that you, a filthy polytheist, sit on the Prophet's bed sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Did you say that you hold some significance because you have a pagan passport? You hold some might, some respect, some honor, some glory, some dignity? No! She did not even allow him, even though he was her father. But she knew that he was the chief of polytheism of that time. So she disallowed that filthy pagan of that time to sit on that pure, clean, clean bed of monotheism, of tawheed, of aqidah. فَسُبْحَانَ الَّذِي خَلَقَنَا. She disallowed her father from sitting on that bed. And this is the way we should be. You know, there are brothers that one brother mentions. There are many examples of honor, many examples of how we are today humiliated. A brother mentions that he will never forget when he was on a plane one day traveling. So the plane was postponed. You know, when your plane is postponed, you get agitated, become frustrated. You know, it's irritating. You cannot control yourself. You want to move around. You know, it's tiring. It's not sort of comfortable. So, he said the plane was postponed. He was in the plane, sitting in his seat, and then he said that the plane had both Arabs and non-Arabs, had Muslims and non-Muslims sitting on that plane. It was traveling to a so-called Muslim country. So obviously, traveling to a Muslim country, you have Muslims on that plane, and obviously you have non-Muslims, because there are many non-Muslims who work in the Arabian Peninsula or in the Middle East. So this brother said there was Muslims and non-Muslims, there was Arabs and non-Arabs on the plane. And then he said the crew members of that plane, of Saudi or Kuwaiti or whatever airlines it was, the crew members, but they were from a Muslim country, a so-called Muslim country, the members. The crew members passed by every single non-Arab, by every single Muslim, they passed by them and did not even look at them. But they went to every non-Arab, every non-Muslim looking, and they apologized for the delay. Subhanallah al-Azim. So they will go past the Muslims, go past the Arabs, not even look at them, not even say, I'm sorry for this delay. And when they pass a non-Muslim looking, or a non-Arab, they will say, oh, we apologize, we are sorry, we shouldn't be too long. Can I get you a cup of water? Can I get you something refreshing? Can I get you a snack? Is this not humiliation? Is this not seeking honor and dignity in other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Wallahi it is. And this is the reason why we are in this state. Exact reason why this ummah today is covered with this humiliation. And no other. You know, you see, for example, out there, leaders driving the best of cars, flying the fastest planes, eating the best of foods. You can hardly even go next to these people due to the tens, if not hundreds, of bodyguards that surround them. You know, you look at Umar ibn Khattab, there's a great example that the time when the Muslims opened Jerusalem, Allahumma ij'al lana Jerusalem inshallah, al-Bayt al-Aqsa, in the hands of Muslims once again. The time when the Muslims opened Jerusalem, the Christians refused to give the keys of the city except to Umar. In person, they wanted him to come to Jerusalem, to Bayt al-Aqsa, in person, and they will only then and there hand the keys to only who? To Umar, in person. So Umar traveled, set off from Medina to Jerusalem. Umar had only one attendant, one companion, that was traveling with him. And only one camel to ride. And they rode that camel in turns. See, subhanAllah. Look at this person who exemplified, wallahi, glory, honor, respect and dignity in Allah, in Islam, in the Messenger, in the believers, with great, wallahi, with great examples, with great profession. He did not care about anything or anyone. He traveled to Jerusalem with one companion who was a servant to him and one camel. One camel. So they had the rides as they were traveling to Jerusalem. They were having the camel rides on in turns. Once, for example, the Umar will sit on it, say for about a kilometer or 2 kilometers, for example, and now he'll rest. Then his servant will sit on it, likewise for a kilometer or 2 kilometers, and so forth. It happened, however, to be the servant's turn to ride on the day when they were to reach Jerusalem. Here's the power, look at this example. Just before, the day before, they will reach Jerusalem and meet the Christians in order to get the key from the Christians. The day they were going to approach the en masse of Christians, the en masse of people there, who would be riding the camel, whose turn is it to ride on that day? It was the servant's turn and not Umar ibn Khattab. So the servant was worried. He was worried. Why? Because he did not want the people to see that Umar is holding the reins of the camel while he, the servant, is riding the camel. He did not believe that it was appropriate, that was proper, that Umar does such a thing. So the attendant, the servant, said, O commander of the faithful, I give up my turn. Why? Because it will look awkward in the eyes of the people if I ride and you lead the camel. But what did Umar say? Yeah, sure, no problem. It looks bad. You know, definitely I'll ride the camel. How dare you even think that you're going to ride the camel? No. He did not care what people thought. He did not care that the backlash or the backbiting or the slander that will occur, that Umar is leading the camel of the servant while the servant is on it. It's not. Say to the attendant, to the servant, when the servant said this to him, he said, oh no, never, replied Umar. I am not going to be unjust. It is your turn and you ride the camel. And look at the word after that. He said, the honor of Islam is enough for us all. Wallahi, the honor of Islam is enough for us all. That was the response that he said to the servant of his, the attendant, and he did not allow that. He give up, the servant give up his turn only because of what people might say, what people might think, what he cared about, what he thought, or he cared, Umar was being just and seeking honor in what Allah Ta'ala has told him to seek honor from, and that is Islam. Allahu Akbar. There are many, many examples, my beloved brothers and sisters, many examples. All we can say is, this was how Muslims felt honor and dignity. Wallahi, those days were embedded in their hearts. And don't forget the cry of the Muslim woman who was slapped in the land of the Romans, who cried out her historical cry, crying out after Allah, O Mu'tasim! And the Caliph Al-Mu'tasim, the Khalifa, heard about her cry and said, here I am, O sister in Islam. And thus he sent his soldiers to attack the Romans in the famous battle of Amuriya, when the honor of one single woman was in danger. This one single woman's honor was endangered. Wallahi, an entire army attacked the Romans, and there was a major combat, a major battle, and leaving the Romans in destruction. Because no one dared, wallahi, no one dared or had the guts or courage to face a Muslim. We'll leave it at that, inshaAllah ta'ala. And there are many, 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 many examples, and this was only supposed to be a short reminder, and we've almost went for a whole hour. So inshaAllah ta'ala, what I'll do now is leave it for you guys to entertain us with any questions that you would may, that you would like to ask. And please forgive me for taking too long. May the Almighty Lord inshaAllah bless you, reward you, and give you that which the Almighty Lord inshaAllah loves and is pleased with, Al-Firdaws Al-A'la. And we ask the Almighty Lord to grant us genuine honor, genuine glory, genuine dignity and respect, so this ummah once again can stand back on its feet with might, with greatness, with purity of worship. Allahumma ameen. Allahumma ameen. Fatafaddalu insha'Allah and ask your questions. May the Almighty Lord bless you all. وعليك السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. The question is, which ma'had, university and shuyukh in that country do you recommend the talib al-ilm to study at? Obviously the University of Medina, the Islamic University of Medina, I strongly encourage and advise, as inshallah ta'ala there is still pure, authentic knowledge given there from no other than the Quran and Sunnah, on the correct methodology of our Salaf al-Salih. So inshallah, that is the university I highly recommend you to go to, and to take from any sheikhs there as long as they give you from no other than the Quran and Sunnah. And inshallah, it is all khair. May the Almighty Lord make us all, inshallah, students of knowledge. For indeed, whoever seeks a path of knowledge, seeking Islamic knowledge, the Almighty Lord, as the hadith mentions, makes a path to paradise for him more simplistic, more easier. وعليك السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. My beloved brother Ibrahim Abdul Wahad. Allahu Akbar, what a beautiful name. Al-Wala wal-Bara, my beloved brothers and sisters, is a major problem today. where many Muslims have not understood it. For indeed, it is an essential element relating back to the declaration of faith. But, as you see, as you know, as you have witnessed, the majority of this ummah don't have the slightest idea of its definition. This is what we need. In al-wala' al-bara', what it means in reality is showing loyalty only to Allah, allegiance only to Allah, loyalty only to Allah and the Messenger and the believers. Wala' al-bara' is distancing yourself, withdrawing yourself, showing hatred to all those who adhere to kufr, the adherence to the devil. This is the meaning of al-bara'. But in reality today we see the opposite. Muslims have given al-bara' to the Muslims, while they have given al-wala to the non-Muslims. And this is a major catastrophe, a major predicament that we are focused, that many are focusing on and living by. The example I mentioned earlier on, or the examples of how the so-called Muslims treat their brothers in Islam or their sisters in Islam by giving the kafir, the non-Muslim, more honor, dignity, loyalty, and even allegiance over their brothers and sisters in Islam. And this is why, and the reason why, we are such in a humiliated state. I advise every brother and sister to understand this great element of the conditions of the testimony of faith, al-wala' al-bara'. Understand it and live by it. In Islam, it is one path, one way. When the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud in al-Bukhari, Muhammad sallam, he drew the line. He did not draw it crooked. He drew it straight, leading to paradise. And he said, this is my path. And you all know the hadith. He drew lines on each side of that line and said, these are the lines of deviation. And at the door of each line, there is a devil who is calling you to destruction, to evil, to mischievousness, to wickedness. So beware. So anyone who does not understand wala al-bara' will easily fall prey and fall into the paths of deviation. An example of this, wala al-bara', for example, I know in Australia, I used to get rebuked by the media big time. Big time. Day and night, they would have me for weeks. They would lie about what I said. They would cut and paste. They would misinterpret my statements. As you all know, false propaganda, evil media, only to make headlines and money by sacrificing or by killing the Muslims or trying to hurt them or oppress them. But wallahi, no one has lost except them. For we Muslims hold strongly and proudly to our deen. And we don't care less what they do or what they say. For wallahi, it is Al-Qantara on a day of resurrection. But my moral of this talk, when the media would stab me and rebuke me and slander me day after day, whether on the news, on television, or in the papers, or in the magazines, you get those Muslims, so-called Muslims, expressing al-bara' to a Muslim brother, slandering me, laughing, mocking on talkback radio, talking about me, and I'm their brother in Islam. You should give your brother at least the benefit of the doubt. You should know that these people are evil and they lie and they lie and they misconstrued and cut and paste your statements. But these Muslims, so-called Muslims, go on the radio or in the papers or on TV and they start rebuking, mocking and degrading their brother in Islam. This is the definition of al-bara' and al-wala', that they give their bara' to their brothers in Islam and they show, no, we are for integration, we are for assimilation, we are for modernization, which in reality is no other than Americanization. So this is the situation of this ummah. And this is what I referred to in my talk, that they have given glory and honor, loyalty, dignity, respect to the kuffar, and they have given bara' to the Muslims. And I'm pretty sure whether it's in England or in America or anywhere in the world, you will get this too, and you've seen this. And this is a sad story, wallahi. May the Almighty Lord change us, purify us, rectify us, reform us. Wallahi, it is no other except bima kasabat aydina, because of what our hands have earned. And this is why we are how we are today. Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. وعليك السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا حبيبي يا عزيزي عبد الله حكيم. إن شاء الله جوا بخير إن شاء الله. Is there any allowance in Islam where a lady can work in public places with or around men such as admins, mixed schools, etc.? If yes, then what are the conditions? جزاك الله خيرا وإياك إن شاء الله تعالى وإياكم جميعا. Basically, my beloved Abdullah, in Islam, a lady is allowed to work. She is allowed to make her own money, and that money belongs only to her. Any money that she owns, any money that she earns, is restricted only to her. Her husband, first of all, is not allowed to touch it in any shape, manner, or form. And if he does, take it off her without her permission or forcefully he coerces her, then he is stealing her money, and she will get her right on the day of resurrection. However, she is allowed to give him her money if she wanted to, seeing they are a mutual sort of, you know, in a mutual relationship, and it's nice, it is good for a lady if she sees her husband in need to give him some of her money, and that will be considered charity, and thus she will be getting reward inshallah ta'ala immensely for it. As for her work, yes, she is allowed to work. How? She must not confront or mix with any males. She is not allowed to mix with males, especially in admin areas, you know, in administrations and so forth. My knowledge is that, you know, many males may come in, especially if she's a receptionist or so forth. She may confront many males, must talk to them, look at them, chat with them. And this is not acceptable. This is not acceptable. Mixed schools likewise. She is not allowed to mix. She has to segregate from the males in the workforce. She is allowed, however, she is allowed with conditions, and that is to keep away from the men in the workforce, and there is no harm, no problem, alhamdulillah, for her to work as long as she does it in accordance to no other than the criteria of the Quran and Sunnah. Wa barakallahu fina jami'an inshaAllah. May the Almighty Lord love you for the same reason that you love me for, my brother Ibrahim Abdul Wahhad. As for loving for the sake of the Almighty Lord and hating for the sake of the Almighty Lord, what can we do to practice al-wala ul-bara to the fullest? Basically, understand that before anything else, understand what al-wala ul-bara really means. Maybe inshallah one day we can have a lesson, which will probably entail lessons, because in one lesson you will be unable to elaborate or clarify al-wala ul-bara in just 1 hour. So inshallah one day we will have a lesson on wala ul-bara. Maybe it is soon inshallah, and that bi-idhnillah Ibrahim, we will leave it at that inshallah, because in reality it needs detailed information, and that will take a long time, which we haven't got time for now. But bi-idhnillah ta'ala, bi-idhnil khaliq azza wa jal, we will have a lesson inshallah. See, it is an extremely important topic, which as I said is an essential element that relates back to the declaration of faith. So please inshallah forgive me now for not answering it in full, because in reality it needs a lesson, if not a couple of lessons, and inshallah we will do it bi-idhnillah ta'ala. Wa alayki as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sister Hidayah, is it allowed to do wudu under the shower while you are showering? Yes, you are allowed. There is no problem in you performing the wudu as long as you intend to perform the wudu the way it should be performed in sequence. You don't just go underneath the shower, and as long as you wet all your body, they say, you have not only removed yourself from ghusl, major impurity, but you as well have performed wudu, because all the limbs of your body are washed, they say, and that is suffice, they say. That is not suffice. We know in the Sharia, in the authentic prophetic mentionings sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a condition that the scholars have placed regarding the wudu due to derivity that they have taken from the ahadith, that it must be done in sequence, and that refers not only to the verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah, but likewise the reiteration of the implementation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding the wudu, for indeed he always performed it in sequence. So as long as you do it with intention and in sequence, you have completed the wudu, and inshallah you may pray and do whatever you want after that. Wa alayka as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mukhan, I think it is, or Muhammad Khan. Muhammad Khan, is it allowed to have shares in a business society or a bank? And if not, what shall I do with the shares that I hold within that bank? Look, basically, regarding shares in Islam is perfectly fine if, and make sure that you write if with capital letters, if it is in accordance to the Islamic economics, the Sharia. If that bank is pure, there's no haram in it, and if that share, that organ, that institution or that company or whatever share, that whatever stock market it may be, if it is halal, yes, but if it is not, then no. And I know of no bank in the entire world, and that's my probably limited knowledge, but I've seen many and I've investigated many, and I still to this day have not heard of one pure Islamic bank. Not heard, nor have I seen any such thing. And Allahu A'lam. So if you hold shares in a organization or in a company that deals with haram, with interest and its likes, then you must withdraw your money. Take it out. As for you using the money, the haram of that money, if you know, if you can accumulate, or you can identify the haram of that money that was accumulated or profited through haram, then you should not utilize that money. Instead, give it to a charitable organization, because you have to get rid of it, and do not utilize it for your personal gain. And that is the most preponderant opinion, and Allah knows best. Is it allowed to go on Tabligh Jama'ah? If not, why? Jazakallahu khairan wa iyyak ya akhi Muhammad. Our beloved brothers at Tabligh, who in reality are the propagators in Islam, as they say and as they believe. Look, this organization, this institution, they mean well, they love Islam, they do a lot of what may people may look like excellent Jews in Islam, but the problem they have is they have no knowledge, the majority of them. They have no knowledge of Islam. And they primarily build their actions on a book called Fada'il al-A'mal. Fada'il al-A'mal, which is more or less aspiration or the virtues of actions. The virtues or the credits of righteous actions. So they built their concept of getting people close to Allah by persuasion and deterrence, or aspirations and awe. And sadly to say, a lot of it is built on weakness, weak ahadith. And again I repeat, they mean good, but not every person who means good will receive good. Good is only that which Allah has said in His book and on the tongue, the purest of tongues, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So basically, it is better for you to avoid traveling with them when they go on khuruj, whether it's 3 days, 40 days, 2 months, 6 months, or whatever, because there's no restriction in the sunnah that mentions such activities. But you can go inshallah and advise them, help them, and they're still your brothers in Islam. Even though they have some innovative practices, so I advise you to help them if you're able to, and to assist them, and inshallah ta'ala, be fair in your preaching and be wise and do not be harsh. May the Almighty Lord guide us all to that which He loves and that which is pure, and grant us that which is pure of Islam, in order that we can continue propagating and proclaiming the grace of the Almighty Lord the way He wants us and the way He is pleased with authenticity, with purity, with genuine Islam, and not Islam built on fabricated or weak ahadith. Allahumma ameen. Walaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sister Amatullah, may the Almighty Lord inshallah grant you that which you desire, and place light and Islam, and make your parents and make us all among the ghuraba, fatuba lil ghuraba. Basically, your situation, if you believe, understand this, Amatullah, if you believe that an niqab, Now listen carefully to this. If you believe it is worship, if you believe it is an obligation, then yes, you must wear it even though your parents do not allow you or do not want you. Because if you believe something is an obligation, then لا تعطي لمخلوق في معصية الله. There is no obedience to creation if it means disobedience to Allah. If in reality their claim that it is dangerous, it is harmful for you to wear it in a Western so-called civilized society, I don't know where civilization is in them, but if you think that it will be a detriment, that it can harm yourself, you physically or Islamically by wearing this, then you are allowed to remove it even though it's an obligation. However, if you think that there is serenity, there is tranquility, there is no problem, you will not be subjected to any detriment or any harm from the environment that you live in, then you must wear it even though your parents do not want you to wear it. Why? Because you just said that you believe it's farad. And if you believe it's farad, which you got every right to believe so, then you must wear it. On the other hand, if a sister came, if the sister asked, for example, that she only believed it's sunnah and not farad, and her parents are opposing it, I would say in this answer, or for that question, that yes, remove it. Because sometimes to leave a sunnah in order to please your parents or to get him closer to Islam may be of benefit, inshallah ta'ala. But not all times. It depends on the severity of the situation. However, you are a person that believes it is farad, so you must wear it even though your parents say remove it. It is exactly the same as them saying to you, remove your headscarf, your hijab from your head. There is no difference. May the Almighty Lord, inshallah, alleviate your burden. And like I said, put light in the hearts of your parents and make, inshallah, them enlightened with the purity of Islam and with the acceptance of Islam. So, inshallah ta'ala, they shall not bother you or feel any sort of negativeness towards you for this beautiful act that you would like to perform. Put it on, sister, and fear on you, Allah Ta'ala, and there's no harm on you, inshallah. وعليك السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. Masri, inshallah ta'ala, you are in great, inshallah, spirits and excellent iman and health. And may the Almighty Lord, inshallah, allow us to see once again each other, inshallah, whether it's in Australia or in, inshallah ta'ala, Al-Firdaws Al-A'la, which is only bi-idni al-Khaliqi Azza wa Jal, inshallah, by His mercy, only around the corner. Can a lady condition that her husband can't marry another wife in their marriage contract? Obviously, if a lady, when she's writing the marriage contract, the sheikh is there, the guardian is there, the two witnesses are there, the potential husband is there, she is there, she says to her husband, she tells the sheikh, look, if my husband in the future wants to get married, I want to withdraw myself, or I want to have the allowance to separate from him. If this is mentioned upon writing this contract and the husband is there and if he agrees to it, be careful here, Nasri, if he agrees to it and it is mentioned, the witnesses hear this, the sheikh hear this, then yes, she is allowed. She is allowed. And yes, in the future, if the husband wants to get another wife, she is allowed to withdraw herself from this marriage if she so desires, because the husband has allowed it already in the marriage contract. And Allah Ta'ala A'lam, this is the most preponderant or the most strongest of opinions amongst the scholars. And it is an allowance that the scholars have placed because there is clarity before marriage. However, if a woman after marriage, after the contract, if her husband desires another wife and she cannot accept this, she is not allowed to withdraw herself unless her husband allows it. She has no legal Islamic right to say, I want separation and I'm leaving you, because the divorce lies in the husband's hands. However, he is allowed to say, okay, you can't live like this, I will let you go and I have no problem. But it is up to him, and she cannot coerce him. May the Almighty Lord, inshallah ta'ala, allow us all to adapt the way of the Sharia and to fulfill our lives only in accordance to call Allah, call Rasuluh sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wallahi, in order that we may be successful. For this time, this life is only short, and is only a couple of seconds before you meet your Lord. So be very careful, brothers and sisters, how you judge things in this life and how you implement things, and that not your emotions, your sensitivity, your feelings play with your actions. And give my salams to, inshallah, to Ziyad al-Hafda, wa alayhi wa alayka wa alayhi salam. Yes, inshallah, Ikhzan. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You can, inshallah, wait till this session is over, and inshallah, I can have a discussion with you. No problem, bi-idhnillah ta'ala. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brother Salafi Muslimah, or sister Salafi Muslimah, how should we go about unifying the Muslim Ummah, especially at these times of great fitna? And it is said that we should follow the first Muslims in every aspect. Does this also include the way in which they achieved Sharia? We should follow Islam in its entirety, completely. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً. Oh, you who believe, enter Islam in its entirety, completely, not partially, not just a section of Islam, but fully, as the believers entered Islam, as they achieved in the way they achieved. This is the way, and the only way, and the way of achieving the Sharia. There's no doubt about that, and if anyone says there is, they have a major problem in their aqidah. In their aqidah. And this is the only way, my beloved sister or brother, that we will ever unify the Muslim Ummah. But if you heard my talk earlier on, when brothers or communities or people raise the slogan of my nation, my community, my tribe, my people, my this and my that, how will you ever cause or produce or generate unison, unity in this nation? As long as we have people like that, this is destruction. And it is the reason why we are, one of the reasons, when they seek honor or loyalty or dignity or glory or respect in their nation, in their race, you will see the destruction and the humiliation of what our hands have earned, and to the result of us today so disunited. We are fragmented into pieces, held by hands, evil, filthy hands of the non-Muslims. Part of us is held in America, another part in Israel, another part in this country or that country. We are controlled. And your Lord has allowed this as a punishment for our rebellion, our rebellious acts towards Islam. May the Almighty Lord inshallah grant us love, sincere love, sincere loyalty, sincere honor that belongs only to Allah Ta'ala. And wallahi, you will see the lifting inshallah Ta'ala of this humiliation, of this degeneration, of this disgrace, of this degradation, which they say of us. And inshallah you'll see us Muslims raising the flag like Salih ad-Din Ayyubi once again up high, and no one will ever dare to break that flag. And is it worth you to stay away from people of bid'ah, of novelties, of innovations? وَأَيَّاكَ يَا أَخِي يَسْ وَيَا أَخْتِي يَسْ. The only time you accompany or you socialize or you associate those people of innovation is to teach them, to warn them, to help them, to advise them, to recommend them to that which is pure, the pure Sunnah, the pure Islam. And Islam is not built on bid'ah. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. Every innovation is evil, and every evil leads to eternal damnation, eternal destruction, the abyss of hellfire. So yes, I advise you to help these people. And if you are unable to help these people, keep away from them and do not associate yourself with them. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi malik. Islamic school in over here in Malaysia. Well, look, there is great Islamic universities worldwide. There's one in Yemen, which is Jama'atul Iman in Sana'a, I believe. And it is a great university built on no other then the concept or methodology of the first three righteous generations. If not, you can go to the Islamic University or apply for that in Medina, a great university that again is built on the correct ideology and methodology. If not, you can go to Umm al-Qura in Mecca, another great Islamic university that likewise inshallah is built on the correct curriculum or syllabus of Islam. If you cannot go to any of these, there is a university here in Malaysia as strong as the ones I've Trent mentioned earlier. But you yourself investigate, go on your surf the web, enter in Google Islamic universities, and I'm pretty sure a number of listings will come up inshallah ta'ala, and try to get the application forms from it and see how you go from there. If you have a problem inshallah, continue inshallah conversing with me, and inshallah we'll see what we can do. But there is here universities in Malaysia, whether in Kuala Lumpur or in Johor, and inshallah ta'ala we'll see how you progress. May the Almighty Lord make you all inshallah students, elite students of Islam, raising the flag of no other than La ilaha illallah, conveying the message of La ilaha illallah, proclaiming, propagating wherever you walk on the face of this earth, La ilaha illallah, to all people. So inshallah, on the day of resurrection, when the Almighty Lord asks this earth, every part of it, what did my slave do on you? It will say in return, Ya Allah, this was a student of knowledge. He was propagating and proclaiming that which is no other than La ilaha illallah. How beautiful is that? How beautiful is that? Don't listen. Just one sec, brothers. Just tell them I'm doing a lesson on that. And regarding the actual lectures, I think this, I'm pretty sure this is recorded. Allahu A'lam, go to Sister Asiya and ask inshallah her. And I'm pretty sure she'll direct you to where the lecture is, inshallah ta'ala. Wa'ayyakum inshallah. We'll leave it at that. Bi'idhnillah ta'ala. And inshallah, whoever wants extra sort of information as to when the next lecture is, go to Unity Ittihad or IM Asiya inshallah, Sita Asiya, and she'll give you information. And we'll leave it at that. May the Almighty Lord bless you all inshallah and provide for your security and safeguard all evil and strengthen you on La ilaha illallah and on faith and taqwa that is not diluted or watered or wavered in any shape, manner or form. So hold the flag of Islam, be proud of Islam, feel honor and dignity only in Islam, and wallahi, on the day of resurrection, you will receive nothing but salvation, nothing but successfulness. So be patient, be patient, be patient. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.